Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the pro wrestling quiz show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collins, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
The seasons are changing, and Jeff, the hurricanes and the wildfires and the earthquakes, everything's coming down the pike soon. Jeff, how are you? It's Shake Them Ropes, episode 384,000. We are here. We're going to chat about some of the wrestling that has happened this past week. Plus, look ahead, what's going to happen this weekend and next weekend. Jeff, what's up?
Armageddon. It rains here a little bit, and then sewage systems can't handle it. And
I don't think they do that pay-per-view anymore. I think that one got cut. And speaking of getting cut, how did you take this? So the leaders of TKO are out there talking about how the remnants of Vince McMahon need to go away. And one of those potential things that people were thinking is, okay, maybe they're going to change some of these pay-per-view names. Maybe they're going to change the way WWE has done certain things. Well, first of all, WWE over the last year, 2 years, has kind of changed the way they've done things, the way they've run their premium live events, the way they've done their content in general, and the way they book some of their shows as far as locations are based. They ain't getting rid of WrestleMania. They ain't getting rid of the things that make them money. I mean, some of these pay-per-view, I love the wrestling fan who immediately we're going to eliminate some of the remnants of Vince McMahon and the old regime. Well, they must mean pay-per-view names. that's my, I'm already nasally, but that's me going even more nasally.
Okay.
Because I am that nasally wrestling fan too. So I'm trying to even exaggerate the nasaliness.
WWE creative's down right now. That means AEW's going to surpass them. No, shut up.
I don't even think it's like down from what? Down from 2022? Down from the peak of what got them to where they are?
Oh, it's not as hot as when Cody was chasing the title for 2 years. Yeah, I know, dummy.
Oh, I mean... But remember, when he was chasing the title for 2 years, he was gone for a year of that.
It doesn't matter.
So really, you're advocating WWE was great when Cody Rhodes was gone for a year.
I'm just, there's so much wish casting in wrestling commentary and comments. It's just like, guys, they're fine. All right, AEW is not on some sort of weird ascent. And yeah, they're going to keep the pay-per-view names because... people like the recognizability of the pay-per-view names for the most part, especially the big five, if you're going to call them that. But I mean, they like pulling out old pay-per-view names for NXT and other things. When you say get rid of some of the old things, I think it's like house shows.
which have pretty much gone away. The holiday tour is still a thing. Basically, Mark Shapiro of TKO said that WrestlePalooza represented a new era for WWE. They're taking the torch and moving past the time when most PLEs were Vince McMahon created. Taking the inference that they're going to create new long-term events that they can sell to, you know, WrestlePalooza was ESPN's first, probably going to be this mid late summer, you know, extravaganza, maybe like a SummerSlam at some point. But to me, paper, you know, I get a kick and get excited for the Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, of course. SummerSlam, not so much anymore. I mean, obviously they've done these 2-day events now. They're big events. They usually stack the card. Survivor Series has long been an event where it might as well be Money in the Bank, maybe even less interesting than Money in the Bank, to be honest. You're just going to put a lot of main eventers in a war game. We're going to talk about war games, right? But you're putting a lot of main eventers in a war games that, one, the match is done won't mean that much. It's just you're getting all the stars on the show. You're hoping people watch it, and it's going to be a big ticket seller. But moving, they're not going to move past a lot of these names because they are the big thing.
Yeah, I think you're poo-pooing this year's War Games a little bit too much. I think this is a stacked one, but
it's star-studded. The matches are star-studded, and the women's War Games match probably does mean stuff and mean something, and it's going to be really, really good. But we've had, you know, the Vision feud minus Seth Rollins. You're having your world champions team up in this match with Cody Rhodes and CM Punk. Like, it's star-studded, but what does anyone get by winning it?
I think we kind of brought this up a little bit last week too, because it was pre-Blood and Guts, or maybe it was just post-Blood and Guts. But
just post, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. My time is a flat circle for me this week.
No one gets anything from what, you know what?
No one gets anything from anything. Yeah, no,
well,
exactly.
Kyle O'Reilly got a match with Jon Moxley, so Kyle O'Reilly got something. He got a singles match with Jon Moxley, so in his mind, like, that's a big thing. But you had to win War Games to get a singles match with Jon Moxley.
I want a stipulation for War Games now. I want these things. Okay, if the winning team gets whatever, I don't care.
And not everything has to have a stipulation, but the problem is none of them do, and that's been the case for the past few years.
For 20 years, for maybe even 30 years, to be honest with you, since the inception of this thing, because this whole thing was created as we need to finally take care of this horseman problem. And the horsemen existed and they got beat and they were, you know, but they then regrouped and reformed the horsemen in some ways or whatever. They never broke up or anything, so maybe nobody's ever gotten anything out of the War Games, to be honest with you.
No one gets anything, but just the last few years it's seemingly like, okay, we won this match, we're still gonna feud with everyone's still gonna feud against each other, mm-hmm. now individually, and there often aren't really titles on the line or title implications. You know, if the Vision won this one, okay, there's your, you know, Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker. Okay, you're getting title matches with the champs that you just beat, maybe. Eventually that's going to happen, but not directly because of what happens at War Games.
But they've had matches like this, and I think it was, I think it was a knockoff in Smoky Mountain. I got to be honest with you. I'm trying to remember this. I think it was on the War Games Blu-ray. And Smoky Mountain did a knockoff match of this with, like, Kevin Sullivan, Taz, the Stud Stable, and a bunch of other guys. But everybody on each team had a stipulation. And so if you lost that match, it meant something. I'd kind of like that again. I'd like each guy on each team, something has to happen to this person if they win, or something has to happen if they lose. I think that would make it a lot more interesting.
Yeah. And there could be some things that come of this for the women's War Games. Say Team Rio wins. Okay, well, the two tag teams in that match have to face each other, and one of them's going to get a world tag team title shot. Something like that.
Yeah.
You don't have to say War Games is being fought so that this can happen, but at least follow up with it the next night. We'll see what happens. There's a couple of weeks here on TV. We pretty much have what I think is going to be the card. We may have the entire full card for this. And we're gonna get that contradiction between AEW and WWE as far as how many matches per show when we preview these cards, because one has four and one has 45. Guess which one that is. Let's talk about some of the big things that happened on WWE TV this week. Of course, Friday we got.
Hold on, let me pause you for a second. I just want to take a few moments. I wanted to talk a little Bob Caudle. Did you have that on your rundown?
I have Bob Caudle in my rundown. Have him at the very end. Go for it.
Okay.
Now.
Okay. No. Well, Bob Caudle passed away at the age of 95, but he was the first voice of professional wrestling I ever heard as a young child in. I think probably before you were born,
1984. Okay, that's not so bad. That was before I was born. Yes.
Yes, but you know, I was at a friend's house waiting for him to finish his chores at his grandmother's house. I turned on pro wrestling, and there's Bob Caudle interviewing Ric Flair, and Tully Blanchard comes in to interrupt to start trouble with Ric Flair. Yeah. I love Bob Caudle. I love how just absolute wonderbread, plain, boring he is. He's somewhere on that spectrum between Gordon Solie and Lance Russell in a way. But the thing that I loved about Bob Caudle that no other announcer does these days is he has, I call him kind of your disappointed uncle. He always does the appeal to reason to the heels. And then the heels and the promos can then play off that appeal to reason. It's like, oh, Tully Blanchard, why did you attack Wahoo McDaniel like that? And Tully has this shit-eating grin on his face because he's proud of what he's done. He jumped somebody before a match, or he hit somebody with a chair or brass knuckles or quarters or whatever. And it just makes him even that much more cocky. And I just, the absolute vanilla-ness and not wanting to be part of the show. And there's no bombast in his play-by-play either. I mean, he just called a match like... I mean, he's the last of those newscaster type guys, but I mean, and he also had just absolute dreck as color commentators. Like when I was a kid, it was Johnny Weaver, who is terrible. Might be one of the worst color commentators you'd ever hear, but he always had that kind of serious adult in the room feel that I don't get out of wrestling announcers anymore. And I kind of miss that. I kind of want wrestlers to be grown children or whatever. And I want
things you don't even get with like Michael Cole, who's the voice of pro wrestling these days for the generations. You don't get that disappointment factor. You definitely don't get the adult in the room, even though he at this point has been doing this for 30 years now. You definitely don't get that side. You get the personification of boring with Tom Phillips, though.
True, or whatever. What's his name in TNA now? I don't know, but. Vic Joseph is actually the closest thing.
Isn't that
Tom
Phillips? Isn't Tom Phillips doing the play-by-play in TNA?
Yes. Oh, is he going by Tom Phillips or is he going
Well,
by
no, he's
name?
Not Tom Phillips anymore. He's whatever name he is now.
Yeah.
But,
Vic Joseph
you know what
is
I meant.
Kind of Yeah, Vic Joseph is
Vic
kind
Joseph
of
is
close,
kind of that.
But he has a psychopath next to him in Booker T.
But even beforehand, I mean, you know, obviously my generation let's see who had the better introductory to wrestling, because mine was Jeff Jarrett, Vince McMahon, and Jim Ross.
Huh.
And Jerry Lawler, Ross, I guess, was in that segment.
Yeah, oh, God. Ross and Lawler, to me, are overpraised, but I get it. They were what WWE wanted for that. I mean, because WWE was always the hype machine. Be the hype, yeah. Be the hype, be the hype. And strong sell, hard sell, do that. And... it wouldn't have played to a boring, dull guy. Like, Schiavone was kind of close in WCW for a while, until Nitro. And then it's the greatest thing in the history of sport. And he became, you know, he basically became kind of what Jim Ross was being over on the other side, too. So, yeah, I Riccoboni could be that. I'm not the biggest Ian Riccoboni fan in the world. Cause
he's just too young to be the disappointed uncle.
That's true, too.
So sometimes there's a little bit of, okay, well, this guy's younger than me. How is he going to be disappointed at this guy? I mean, it's not like, oh, I'm looking up to my hero, this bad guy.
Well, the thing is, Bob Caudle was also 75 for 50 years.
Right.
I mean,
he is your grandfather. He's your grandfather trying to impart his wisdom onto you, the viewer. I ain't taking wisdom from Tom Phillips. I ain't taking wisdom from Vic Joseph.
Yeah, like Ross could be that now, but he's too into the vice president of talent relations mode as a commentator type thing. But oh, you might. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
I might take advice from Joe Tessitore, but it's going to be betting advice.
I love Tess. Tess is love great. Joe Tessitore.
But he's not the same mold as a Bob Cottle or Ross. But and that's the new era we're in. That's in one of the things that we're moving past from, and we're starting anew in this WWE to bring that full circle from Mark Shapiro. Dolph Ziggler, Zack Ryder came back for one matches here. Zack Ryder on SmackDown, Dolph Ziggler on Raw. What was the more impressive one-off return for you?
Ziggler. I still think Ziggler is great in the ring. I love watching him, but in terms of, that's just in terms of natural talent. In terms of the actual return, neither, because you beat both your surprises.
Well, that's okay. I mean, it was surprises for the show. This is a TV tournament. I don't think any tournament match is going to be at Survivor Series War Games. This is going to be purely on TV leading up to Saturday night's main event. I don't think your surprises had to win anything. It was just so cool that, okay, this is cool. There were some out-of-towners here in the Last Time Is Now tournament, people who had connections, at least recently, to John Cena. And we have our WWE guys who are moving on. I don't think either one had to win.
MSG wanted Ziggler to win. I think, because he was going up
against Solo Sikoa.
Yeah, but
I mean,
still,
of course they wanted him to win.
I mean, having that one wild card in there that wins a match, though, that's something in a tournament. I mean, it's kind of like, you remember when Mr. Perfect came back for the Rumble and made the Final Four? It's that kind of thing.
He had Mr. Perfect was the better, because he was a part of that group where, wasn't it like Goldust and Val Venus and who was the other one that was coming back that year? But they advertised Mr. Perfect as one of these four guys who were coming back from like the heyday of the Attitude Era. Mm-hmm. They're back. And Mr. Perfect definitely came off as the best in that Royal Rumble. I forget who the fourth one was. Let us know in the comments who the fourth one was. Dolph Ziggler is 45 and a half years old. Mm-hmm. Bouncing around this trampoline park of a WWE ring, making it look like a trampoline park. He's crazy. He looks great. Zack Ryder, I mean, looked great as far as a television presence. They both had, I think, good returns.
Yeah.
Did what they were supposed to do of giving a good surprise to the crowd, giving a good match out there. But at the end of the day, the WWE guys are winning. And we have, there's one more. Technically, we had another return just from his injury. But Gunther is back. He also came back on Raw. Beat down Javon Evans. That was a hell of a match. The Javon Evans Gunther match, like, put Javon Evans on Raw next week, like, immediately just have him be a part of the show. And this guy could probably do something, Triple H notwithstanding, but Gunther is back. I know people were excited that he came back out to his original WWE theme, the Symphony Number 9. Gunther is back.
I loved this match. But I need Javon Evans to win a big one. They had him lose on NXT with Leon Slater versus...
Sure. Well, he doesn't need to win a big one yet. I mean, when you can do that, when you can be as impressive in the ring, you don't need to win yet. Wait for the win until, like, people are, kind of ready for it. Maybe he can mature to the next phase of his career. Because gosh darn it, kiddo, he's 21.
Okay.
He's got time. The young kids these days in wrestling are 35 years old, dude.
It's me and Alvarez on this mountaintop going, push somebody in their 20s, please.
I mean, Gunther, when he was the young kid coming out 3 years ago or so, was 35. Now he's 38. He's still the young guy on the roster who hasn't done every main event yet.
He's
done a lot of them
though,
in a short time.
There's a difference between a giant and a small-ish
Gunther's
athletic guy.
Ah, if
flyer,
you say so.
A high flyer. I've been waiting for the Montez Ford title push since you originally left the show.
Which never happened. I've been here the entire time.
No.
Montez Ford is now 35, so expect his push to start in a year or so, because he's just getting there to the the premium proper age. Dolph Ziggler, 45. But Dolph Ziggler, I think not only did the crowd react to Dolph Ziggler bigger, now it was MSG, granted, versus, like, I think Albany, right? But that that crowd was not only into that particular match, the match was really good.
Yeah.
And yes, Dolph Ziggler, the 3 years off of TV, he came back. He does look older than he was in his prime with WWE, but that prime lasted almost, what, 20 years?
Yes.
That prime lasted a long time from like, what, at 08, 09, maybe even longer to 2023. I mean, this guy's only been gone for 2 years, by the way. Dolph Ziggler was not gone for a long period of time. He was gone for 2 years.
Can I ask you a loaded question here? Because because I have an answer to this, and
okay, gosh.
I couldn't believe.
Then why are you asking me if you have an answer?
Well, because there's a correct answer to this to me, and I think that conventional wisdom is wrong on this.
Ooh.
Or at least Dave Meltzer logic is wrong on this.
Okay.
Should he have come back as Zack Ryder or Matt Cardona, the indie god?
Well, I mean, if you're going to do a one-off and the last time is now and the connection is Zack Ryder on WWE TV, sell Zack Ryder merch. If the WWE crowd, which they are, yeah.
Both guys got merch, which is great for them. Good. Get paid.
Yeah. Dolph Ziggler, Zack Ryder. That's the IP that you own already. Like, it's...
Okay. That's the correct answer. That's the correct answer. Dave Meltzer said he's much bigger as Matt Cardona than he ever was as Zack Ryder. I'm like, that is incorrect, sir.
The thing is,
especially to a WWE. Yeah, exactly.
Matt Cardona didn't win a WrestleMania match in front of 60,000 people and sell merch that day.
Lose the title the next day.
Well, yeah, but he didn't have that moment.
Yeah, I mean,
Zack Ryder is having big matches, but he's not even winning matches on NXT. He's not winning. He's not top of the card on TNA. Mm-hmm. Like, he's having a great career. He probably makes more money now. I can definitely see that if he's right on that.
Yeah.
Just from all the hustling he's doing. I mean, he is a business hustler right now. But as far as name brand value, no, Zack Ryder was on WWE TV for 10 years.
Yeah. And they're going to
Matt Cardona was on WWE TV for 2 shows.
They're going to dangle that carrot because they're going to treat his wife well, and they're never going to re-sign
I don't see 600,000 people watching GCW events.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on.
I'm with you. I am with you on that. I thought, no, the correct answer is you bring him back out as how people knew him from TV.
Yeah.
What he's doing now.
And now people would know if they wanted to introduce him as Matt Cardona and go that way. If there was going to be a full-time thing, then that's a different story, right? Okay, they're doing away with the IP of Zack Ryder and they're going to start. But you're creating someone new, effectively. You're creating someone who the crowd has a little familiarity with. You know, they don't know the name, but they know the guy. Like, it's not that much different. They know the guy.
Yeah.
And
you can get
Matt Cardona over.
You can do the NXT thing like they used to do with Prince Devitt and, you know, others, where they bring him out as the name everybody knows him as. And then they change it to the WWE name on the TitanTron, and then everybody starts cheering for him. That's all you need to do.
Well, that's the thing, too. Not everyone knew, you know, Finn Balor. Not everyone knew Fergal Devitt. Not everyone knew Prince Devitt. The hardcores that the NXT crowd would.
Yes.
But not everyone knows these guys. So that's your chance. That's your chance to start fresh. You know, if Matt Cardona had never been in WWE before and he was doing all this, yeah, sure. Keep him Matt Cardona. Don't change the name. But that's just me being still upset that Mariah May isn't Mariah May anymore. Mm, like, come on.
I agree with that. That name was great.
Blake Monroe is a fine name for someone else. It could be a lot worse, but Mariah, come on, Mariah May, let's go. The glamour Mariah May. So awesome. But she's having an uptick on WWE TV as well. She's having a good run. But yeah, we got Dolph Ziggler, Zack Ryder making those one-off appearances. Gunther is back. So knowing what we know now, right now we have this week on SmackDown, we're going to have Bronson Reed versus Carmelo Hayes and Penta versus Finn Balor, our final first round matches. The winner of Bronson Reed and Carmelo is going to go on and face Gunther on Raw. Who is facing Gunther on Raw, and why are they going to get crushed?
It's going to be Carmelo Hayes, and it's going to be the same formula as the Javon Evans match, and they're going to do it to build up the War Games match by having a distraction finish where Carmelo Hayes beats Bronson.
They have to, right? They have to take Bronson Reed out of this tournament in that fashion, get some heat on any of the baby faces, whether it's Cody or whoever. Carmelo has to win this match and then get destroyed by Gunther.
Mm-hmm.
Bronson Reed versus Gunther would be great.
Oh, I love
totally
it.
Totally the wrong, totally yes. the wrong time to do it. Totally yes. the wrong time to do it. Penta Finn Balor for the rights to go on and face Solo Sikoa. So you would imagine that this is going to be Penta.
Yes.
Yeah. Does Dominic Mysterio get involved in this?
No, JD McDonough tries.
JD tries, maybe Los Americanos try yes. in some form or fashion.
Yeah.
We have Rusev versus Sheamus is going to happen next week. LA Knight, Jey Uso going to happen next week. So interesting. You got Knight versus Jey Uso. One way or the other, you're going to have a babyface versus babyface match. But you got LA Knight, Jey Uso. Maybe it's not quite a babyface versus babyface right. match, depending on what happens the next night at Survivor Series. But has anything swayed you from thinking that Gunther will take this down?
No, because I thought there might be a chance. I thought there might be a slight chance if Ziggler was in this that he may go, because I think he wanted one last match with Ziggler. But out of the participants in there, the one, I mean, you either have to make a guy or it has to be something special. And Gunther is the only special one in this crew in terms of what a last John Cena match would be. And Gunther has to beat John Cena, right?
Yeah, well, Gunther gets the IC title back. He's a champion on WWE TV. You get to do some programs with maybe not the familiar names he was wrestling for the IC title, but some new ones. You know, Penta coming in, maybe a Finn Balor match. There's a whole list of guys that can work Gunther, because right now you want to keep Gunther strong because yeah. he is great. And he's not in the world title picture, at least through WrestleMania, because that's going to be headlined by the Cody Rhodeses, the Seth Rollins, if he comes back in time for WrestleMania, Roman Reigns, maybe Brock. And CM Punk. So Logan Paul maybe stays in after a little bit. I still think we're getting that Logan Paul CM Punk match at Saturday night's main event, but it's less likely than I think it may have been a couple of weeks ago, just with the whole NXT theme going on. So maybe they hold that for a special Raw, maybe a New Year's weekend type show. But we are going to get that match at some point. Gunther wins this tournament, I would say. You know, more on that, because we still got 1, 2, 3 weeks of television before Saturday night's main event on the Last Time Is Now tournament. Just a couple of quick notes. You said not much came across your desk this week, the news desk of Jeff Hawkins. But one thing, Joe Hendry officially signed to WWE. Now, we say officially. I don't know if WWE has actually announced it. People are going off official because it's been reported. But certainly seems like a regular on NXT these days.
Yeah.
Thea Hale, they got the whole thing going on with her. Joe Hendry, what do you have on Joe Hendry signing?
I think this is just Jordynne Grace part two. I think everything about it was push this person like a great, you know, feature act until you sign him. And now it's going to be... Okay, I mean, I love the laugh lines on NXT. It's great. I actually liked the WrestleMania match with Orton in terms of what it was. And I could see this is the type of act that either gets hugely over and you kind of go, huh, I should have seen that coming, or it dies a death on the main roster. And I don't know which one it is, because... I thought like Enzo was going to die on the main roster, and he didn't.
Well, eventually he did.
Eventually, but that was through no fault of, you know, the catchphrases and stuff. Are they brave enough to get him his win back against like a Randy Orton or something? Well, or is he just a comedy guy who's going to be doing the punchlines on the main roster too?
I don't think he's necessarily full on comedy. But if I compare it, like the entrance, people are into the initial entrance of, you know, yes. say his name and he appears, he comes out, they do the waving of the hands.
And then the bell rings.
Not, yeah, but not, you know, it's like a Jey Uso entrance, right?
Right.
But you're right. The Randy Orton match happened. Randy Orton won rather easily. You bring him out for the Royal Rumble. That gets a moment. I think Joe Hendry is really good for the moments. I don't yeah. see him being a regular necessarily on Raw or SmackDown, but being one of those top names with some history on an NXT for a while, especially as WWE tries to get increased value out of NXT through television rights over the next year or two. I think he's a great fit for NXT. I don't know how he would be as a regular on a Raw or SmackDown, because all we've seen so far are those sporadic appearances. And yes, they've gone over really well. They've been cool for the entrance. They've been cool for the moment. But do you remember a single thing Joe Hendry did once he got in the ring at the Royal Rumble? Do you really think that him versus John Cena would have been this match that people, when it actually happened, it's like, oh, thank God we're seeing this over like a Dominic. I would have rather seen Dominic Mysterio versus John Cena, and I'm glad we saw it, right? So
yeah.
I like Joe Hendry. I think he's done really well for himself. He's reinvented his whole wrestling career over the last couple of years because he has been in it for a long time. There's really good comedy in it. He's perfectly fine in the ring as a wrestler. I think he's slotted really good right now.
The NXT staff does really well with what he does. I thought, like, yeah, coming out of the refrigerator, that made me laugh that one time. I love Thea Hale to death. I think she's been lost since Chase U was disbanded. Yeah. So I'm happy for her that she has something to do, because I think she's undersized and I don't think they know what to do with her. I think that's a problem. But
I am perfectly open to Joe Hendry proving those like me who think that, you know, as a regular, he's risky on a Raw or SmackDown. I look forward to seeing if he proves us incorrect in that assessment, because he can be. I mean, a lot of guys have had really good mid-card careers in WWE by being fun. Santino Marella, one of the more, by being
R-Truth
fun.
Is still there at the company.
Just be fun. Be fun and be able to go. So Joe Hendry certainly fits that. How sold are you on the possibility of Nick Hogan becoming a professional wrestler?
None. He's 35.
He's 35 years old, which is when you get going at this point, Jeff. We just
thanks,
established
DDP.
That.
Come on.
We already established that. Nick Hogan's teasing the possibility of him becoming a professional wrestler. I don't see it much either. Brie Bella teasing the fact that maybe she'll come back for a small run like her sister Nikki has.
No. You know who else is teasing another run is Saraya/Paige.
Saraya. And I think actually she's the third one I was going to mention here. She's probably the most likely to come back for a run in WWE, I think.
Is this what Stephanie Vaquera is going to be dealing with for the next 3 years? Is people coming
just the
back
part-time
and
runners?
Going, and, yeah, and we can work just like those other women, but we were never given a chance. Okay, great. Thanks.
To me, like that, I thought was going to be the Becky Lynch 2026. Where she does this AJ Lee, maybe she does Paige, maybe she does a Brie Bella. Like, just put Becky Lynch, because if you want to keep her out of the world title picture to get over some of these new stars, right? Just have her keep facing the legends.
Did you see how poorly the Nikki Bella match went, though? I think she said, no, thank you. I'll go with Maxxine Dupri.
Yeah, that's true. And that Maxxine match was pretty good, though.
It was. It was better than it had a right to be. And she got a big win clean in Madison Square Garden. That means something.
Absolutely. And they're definitely teasing AJ Lee being a part of the women's War Games match at Survivor Series. I don't think they've quite made it official yet, but they're definitely teasing that.
Have you been watching or at least looking at Becky Lynch's social media?
No, I have not.
Okay. She's doing I hate to bring up this name on this podcast because I just don't want to talk about this man ever, but she's doing a Donald Trump like gimmick on Twitter about Adam Pearce and berating him with phone calls. And Pearce is also like tweeting out, look at my calls Becky Lynch has given me. And I guess Pearce Rickrolled her at some point, etc.
It's actually entertaining stuff. I did see that image of all the missed calls from Rebecca Lynch. Yes, I did see that.
Yeah.
If we want to have some fun on social media, it's what, Drew McIntyre's done that. Becky Lynch has done that. Let's preview this Survivor Series card that we have right now and see if this might be the final form that this card takes. I think it might be. But we have Stephanie Vaquera versus Nikki Bella. Nikki Bella turned a couple of weeks ago. We're going to have this match for the Women's World Championship. My estimate is about 12 minutes, which is a little scary for their Nikki Bella match, but I think they're going to give it some of that time. Stephanie Vaquera, I believe, is going to walk in as champ and walk out as champ. But Nikki Bella getting her title match just by sheer force of will.
I am 90% certain Stephanie Vaquer is going to win this match. But there is a part of me that
only
thinks
90.
Nikki Bella, I think there's a slight chance we may get some twin magic or something on this.
You think Brie comes back as a heel to help win the title from superhero Stephanie Vaquer?
Yeah, possibly.
Wow. That's a call.
Know.
That's a take.
I just, there's part of me that thinks I'm not coming back unless I get one last run with the title. I just do.
I mean, it's certainly a way to introduce Brie back in and,
not necessarily
and have some nostalgia
Brie,
and some
that's
fun.
Just, I'm just trying to figure out a way that Nikki
not
can
necessarily,
win this or
who are they
going
to yeah, do twin magic with Santino.
No, I don't even mean twin magic. I mean, they're going to team up Nikki with somebody probably to take to, you know, do tag matches or something, I would think, if they're going to put the belt on her. I don't think they are, but if they do, they got to find a way to do it.
Yeah, I don't believe they're going to put the belt on her. I think Nikki Bella in this title match is legitimately just a way for Stephanie to finish out the year.
Okay.
Because she's not, if she's on the Saturday night's main event card, it's to face someone who's currently in NXT. There's no other premium live events in December. Then you're into the Royal Rumble and you get to do what the Royal Rumble match is. I think Stephanie is kind of just, this is a filler to get her through the rest of the year. Do this
I'm
Nikki
fine
Bella
with
match.
That then. Okay.
John Cena versus Dominic Mysterio rematch. I am surprised they are doing this match a second time. But hey, gets Dominic Mysterio on the show. The first match was good. John Cena, Dominic Mysterio, Intercontinental Championship. I don't see Dominic winning it back before John Cena defends against Gunther. But what say you? What are the chances that Dominic walks out of his hometown as the IC champ?
I think they're actually better than you think because you get the title off of Cena and then he doesn't have to lose it to Gunther. But I don't think it's going to happen. But how much fun has this feud been? This feud has over-delivered for me.
Yeah, for just a couple of weeks of TV. Yeah, well, Dominic's great. I mean, Dominic is like that Kurt Angle type where he's just shown up and he's already a superstar in 3 years. And he's really good in the ring. You can trust him. He does. Maybe it's the fact that he's been around these big names for his entire life, right? But he is not uncomfortable in the ring.
No.
He can go toe-to-toe verbally with any of these guys that you put in front of him, including John Cena. The crowd sees him as a big name. He's one of those that gets the big cheers when his music hits, and then they're like, let's boo this man vociferously.
Yes. It's like we're going to have fun booing him. And the other thing is, but that's the where he's improved so much. I mean, for all you say about him in the ring, like when he was with his dad, they were doing sketches or skits backstage where you didn't even think they knew each other and they were father and son. That's how bad they were. And now, I mean, like he's even like going off script and doing little drops to throw off Cena. And it's like, my God, he's great on the mic now.
You know who I would actually compare him to?
Go.
John Cena.
Okay.
John Cena, he's in his like rapper heel phase right now, but this guy is so good during interviews and they're putting him out there on the Good Morning shows and all the local interviews that can be done for a show coming into town. Like everyone trusts this guy and he's 28 years old. He's still got 7 years before he's in his prime.
John Cena is winning this.
I think John Cena is going to win this one too. But Dominic Mysterio, man, watch out for this guy. This guy, in 10 years, might be the guy we're thinking. Like, he's main eventing every show. He's doing every single interview possible. Wrestling everybody. Like, who knows what WWE looks like in 7 years, but this Dominic Mysterio guy, he might have a future.
When's he jumping to AEW? Never!
What do you got for me on Women's War Games? Let the people know who's in it.
It's going to be possibly, although although Wikipedia now says that Charlotte's not for certain. It says to be determined. I'm like, no, it's going to be Charlotte, Alexa Bliss. I forgot who baby faces are already. Charlotte, Alexa Bliss, Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, and probably AJ Lee versus probably Becky Lynch, the Kabuki Warriors, and who did they?
Nia Jax and Lash Legend.
Nia Jax and Lash Legend. You're correct.
Behind the scenes, I totally left you out here to dry because I had to do a coughing fit. I don't know if anyone can tell from my voice, but I have been struggling this week with talking.
Playing through pain.
With coughing. So I just totally left Jeff Hawkins out for dry, but you named it. You got everybody.
Yeah. Well, you helped with the Nia and Lash, and I appreciate that. And you're coughing, and I'm going to vamp a little while you're doing it. I really liked the promos on Raw. I thought, oh my God, he's dead. I liked the transition from Alexa Bliss talking about her quote unquote best friend, Charlotte, to Nia Jax going, hey, I used to be your best friend. I go, okay, that's clever. That's good. Connecting the dots there. And I also, I've made this comparison before while you were here, but I figure writing for Asuka is a lot like writing for the old black and white comedian Harpo Marx, where in it you just say, Harpo does something funny. And in this you say, Asuka just does her thing, and it's going to be cool. And it doesn't matter what it is, but it's going to be awesome, and it's going to get over. Because Asuka and Kairi are just killing it every time they're out there on the microphone. And Kairi's kind of bad lieutenant / weak lieutenant act is freaking great too. But it's one of these things where I'm excited to see what I don't know what they're going to do with Lash and Nia, but it's not just to stand there and take things from the top of the cage. They're going to do something, but I'm interested in this. But I think now, how do you have, okay, it's always one heel and one babyface team usually wins. So I'm going to go with the babyfaces win this one.
I think you're right. I think the babyfaces win this one because I really do see those dastardly bad guys winning the main event. But WWE lately has liked to have the good guys go out on top to end shows. So just knowing kind of some of the formula, it's like, oh, well, we might be able to induce that someone's going to win here because of the formula of recent TV shows.
But this one's going to open, I think. They're going to open with a War Games, and they're going to close with a War Games, and they're going to open with this one.
Well, yes, but I imagine the men's War Game is going on last.
Yes.
I would imagine that. So that's what I'm saying. Like, will you close out a show with Brock Lesnar being, you know, the top guy up at the end?
That was a hell of a return, though. Since we're transitioning to the men's War Games match, I believe, right?
Yeah, well, one final thought on the women's match.
Oh, go ahead.
As
I
you
forgot
buffer.
You were coughing.
As you buffer there, Nia Jax / Legend. Yeah, maybe someone will go through the cage. Who knows? But definitely Charlotte is going to be in this one after the ending of Raw this week. What a hot ending, too. I mean, the people are going to be ready for this match. It's going to be a great opener to the show if it does go on first, which I believe you're right. It will. And Becky Lynch and AJ Lee. So this one's star-studded as well. You're going to have a lot of really big names in this one. And it's probably going to be the match of the night, in my mind. I would imagine this one may end up taking that title. But there's a lot of good matches on this show. John Cena, Dominic could be really good. The men's War Games, yes. We have CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, The Usos, and Roman Reigns against Logan Paul, Drew McIntyre, The Vision of Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed, and Brock Lesnar. Interesting, Brock and Drew in the same match. Also interesting that you have not only in the same match, but on the same team. And then, of course, Brock versus Roman in there, Brock versus CM Punk. I think we're going to get a heavy dose of Brock Lesnar as we head into WrestleMania because he's going to be on that Royal Rumble show. He's going to be in Saudi Arabia for the Royal Rumble show. So a lot of different ways they can come out of this. I would say that the Vision team probably wins just so they can set up some of that future with Cody, with Roman, with Brock. But I honestly don't know how they would get to the finish and what they might do afterwards. So this one is really, really intriguing to me. Not only star-studded for the actual show, but intriguing to see how they come out of it. Men's War Games, Jeff, what do you got?
I remember that both Cody Rhodes and Bronson Reed have now hurt themselves jumping off cages. So I don't think either of them are going to do that. I hope Bronson Reed has learned his lesson. But you never know. Logan Paul's going to be the one that does something insane off this cage.
Yeah, Logan Paul will do something insane. Don't jump off the cage, Bronson. Jeff is absolutely right. Don't do it against all your judgment. Just go against it. I need you to George Costanza this match. And like, if it pops in your head, do the opposite.
Look, I love this heel team. I do. I think just big, this is the type of team I want in a War Games. I want to watch big, giant men beating the crap out of dudes. The babyface side is one of the most star-studded in terms of main eventers that we've had in a War Games for a long time. My problem is I can just, there's going to be some Usos melodrama here. One of them's turning heel in this match, I think.
And honestly, I can see something like that happening because you're going to have the Usos with Roman probably, unless Jey Uso starts the match or, you know, Jimmy starts the match.
It has to be Jey. It has to be Jey that turns heel because Jimmy's already done that route.
Well, Jey has to be the one. He's the only one that people would care about turning heel at this point.
Yeah. No, that's
true. And just with everyone else who's in the match, let's see who could realistically start. I could see Cody probably starting it. Because yes. I think you have to have Roman, Jey, and Jimmy locked in the cage at the same time for at least one interval. So yeah. I don't see CM Punk going the entire way. So I think Cody Rhodes might be your guy to start this match. And maybe they do it where Drew McIntyre is going to be the guy to go the entire way for the heel side. So it's like, yeah, Cody, you're the guy. There's a lot of intrigue. Yeah. Which, you know, one of the Usos turning, maybe he's just sick and tired of whatever happens when they're locked in that cage. Maybe he's sick and tired of Roman making decisions for him still. Whatever the case may be, it's like, why am I teaming with these champions, yet I'm not going to be in the title picture. Like, what do I care?
I think I have it. Just the way you talked about it. I think I have it. I think it
happens to have it.
Yeah, they're locked in the cage, and there's probably something that happens before that in a vignette where they're arguing over who goes last.
Ooh, who goes last? Who's the main event of our team?
Who cleans up for the team? And Jey somehow is arguing with Roman because Roman wants to go last, but Roman decides, okay, I'm going to go in there, and Jey's going to go out there last, and then he doesn't come into the cage, so it's 5-on-4. And then the heels win. I think that's how it goes.
Maybe something like that happens. And then Homicide shows up to be that fifth guy, and the crowd chants 6-on-5, 6-on-5.
And then Eddie Kingston comes out with like a gasoline can, and he decides to set somebody on fire or something.
That was too deep of a cut from 2000's ROH right there. That was too deep of a cut.
I was going for AEW.
So that's your Survivor Series. And the reason why we're going through the Survivor Series card tonight, not next week, is because Jeff and I will be off next week since it's Thanksgiving. Thinking about maybe doing something over the weekend, maybe after Survivor Series. But right now we're not really sure. If something really big happens during the week, Jeff might just get on here and do a show all by himself. But we will not be most likely around during the week. So we're talking some Survivor Series. And of course, the show happening sooner. This AEW Full Gear headline. There are some very interesting singles matches on this show. Main event steel cage match, Adam Page versus Samoa Joe. This is their rematch from the previous pay-per-view. Kyle Fletcher versus Mark Briscoe. I don't really think there's a chance of a change, but still an interesting singles match for Kyle Fletcher. The aforementioned John Moxley, Kyle O'Reilly, Darby Allin, and Pac. Pac. I hope that one didn't make it. Full Gear thoughts, let's run down.
For me, the most intriguing match and the most well-built match is Briscoe and Fletcher. I absolutely loved that promo where Fletcher kind of goes, I can't wait to have you in the family because I want to see you thrive, as opposed to kind of like being like mustache twirling. It's more like, yeah, let's see what you can do with a support system behind you. I don't know, because for me, that has the most intrigue, because to me, the more interesting choice is Mark Briscoe joining the Callis family for a while, but it's also just time for him to finally win the big one and be TNT champ. So I don't know where they go on this one. This is the only one that has me where I can't call it for the most part. It's the only one that I'm going, maybe this, maybe that. The other ones I think are fairly straight ahead in terms of wins and losses in terms of the lineup.
You're right. With that angle, I could definitely, there might be some little flummox there with Briscoe and Kyle Fletcher painting themselves in the corner. But I can also see Mark Davis was kind of this. He was the butler of the Don Callis family because he didn't want to join willingly. And now right. He's a willing participant. Mm-hmm. So they're just going to do that again with Mark Briscoe, who the crowd might have a little bit more thoughts on. So that's an interesting wrinkle. Chris Statlander, Mercedes Moné, still going for that AEW Women's Championship. Will Mercedes Moné finally win this one and get her, what is it now, the 16th title at this point?
Well, she won another title last night. She won the ROH TV title, the official one, because in a pretty good match with Red Velvet. It's a shame they didn't play her promo that she cut on social media on television, but I don't see Mercedes winning this one for a couple reasons. Number one, because then she'd have all the titles, and it's kind of boring for her to have all the titles. But I also think there's a little bit of, yeah, Mercedes is a star, but AEW home grew Chris Statlander. I think Stat's winning this, and then this begins the descent of Mercedes Moné, where she goes back to each of these promotions. I think she's going to be the one to go back to all these promotions and lose the title. I think that's the least that she can do. And then she wins the AEW Women's World Champion. It's going to be the most backward-ass thing ever, I think. Unless there's some match where she loses to Harley Cameron all 14 or 15 of the title she has, and then Harley goes and does like 14 jobs at different places. But I don't think that's it. I think this is easily Statlander beats Mercedes, okay, and then Mercedes goes on her long journey into the soul of losing all her other titles.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, certainly winning all these titles doesn't have to culminate with winning the big one. And that's kind of why you do this with the heel, right? Where they're winning all these titles and the crowd's starting to think, okay, well, she's winning a lot of secondary championships. Can she win the big one? And maybe in the future she does. At some point, I would think that Mercedes Moné is going to be a babyface in the company, and maybe you save the big title win for when that happens.
Yeah.
So, I can definitely see Chris Statlander hanging on to that one. The Mercedes Moné downfall. This is all reminiscent a little bit of Kenny Omega when he was the belt collector and he was going and winning all these belts and then just had a bad run and lost them all. I don't think Mercedes Moné has enough time to go lose all these titles. Some of them are just going to disappear. Like they really existed just so she could win them, but there's no plan for anything after.
Yeah, exactly. Because you can't name all those titles that she has, pretty much.
No, I wouldn't even be able to guess at this point. You have the Casino Gauntlet match for the AEW National Championship, so someone's going to come out of there. Now we had the singles matches on Dynamite between we had Bobby Lashley against Ricochet, we had Shelton Benjamin against Speedball. I have a feeling that Lashley or Benjamin, probably Lashley, is the favorite to win this match if there's no MJF participation. But tell me where I'm wrong that Lashley is the favorite to win this.
No, it's Ricochet.
Ricochet, okay. Right.
Bobby Lashley is not going to Indies or any other promotions to defend this title.
And well, we talked about this a little bit. I don't think anyone is.
Okay.
I think that's the idea, but that idea will last 2 weeks.
Well, the one I want to do, and it'll piss off everybody who watches AEW, is I want them to do a finger poke of doom with Lashley and Benjamin. I don't care which way they do it.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. And then you don't have to worry about anyone else being in this match because, gosh darn, the card is full enough with almost every wrestler already.
The Hurt Syndicate gets the title. We've made a deal. MVP shows himself to be a businessman, and we just move on with the card. Yes, exactly.
I love it. John Moxley, Kyle O'Reilly. This will be a good match. It's a no holds barred match. I think John Moxley gets his victory back. But gosh darn it, we'll say it every week. John Moxley is an important piece to the AEW roster, and I'm hoping there's better things, bigger things on the horizon. I would like to see John Moxley back in the title picture, not so much with the Death Riders, just John Moxley on his own, kind of being that own guy. I want to see it. I don't want
to
see him.
Well, then he has to
lose
here. He has to lose then because they have to have. Lose. Yeah, Pac and the rest of the Death Riders have to kick him out. You want him to go on to bigger and better things. If he loses, if he wins here, then he's absolutely correct. And it wasn't a character turn on commentary on Collision. He went on Collision on Saturday.
Yes.
And apparently said, blonde guts doesn't matter. Moving on.
Well, yeah, as a bad guy would, right? Guy, like, a match I lost doesn't mean anything. It was a nothing match.
Okay. But I get it. It's just bad. It's just bad to say things don't matter. Because nobody on AEW actually suffered anything from the Blood and Guts match, if you noticed on Wednesday. So I think he has to continue this losing streak, and they have to finally get rid of him.
Well, that's one way to do it. I can also see Jon Moxley winning, Pac beating Darby Allin, and so there's still that kind of battle with who's the most important guy and who's the leader of the Death Riders, but Pac starts to push that issue a little bit more.
I could see that.
I do see Pac beating Darby Allin. I think it's more important for Pac to win that match. Darby's gotten a lot of wins lately, and he really is not a part. He's not, to me, a part of this big Death Rider story that you can kind of spin off now. So I see Pac winning. I see Jon Moxley winning. You could very well be right on Kyle O'Reilly. We'll see. Kyle O'Reilly's not a guy who should be winning singles matches on pay-per-view at this point.
He got the promo of his life last night. It was 10 seconds.
So?
I loved it.
That's great, but to me, he's past the point of winning pay-per-view singles matches. We have the four-way tag team title match for the women's tag team championships. Willow Nightingale and Harley Cameron, who are very fun, against Julia Hart and Sky Blue, Timeless Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa, and Megan Bain and Marina Shafir.
This is not for the titles. This is for a stipulation in the next semifinal match.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like, Tony, what the hell? Here I am not paying attention, just assuming it's the title match. It's the victory. Like, what? What are you
doing?
That's
what I thought it was at first, too. But then they go, and I think they made it like Texas Tornado. So all eight women are fighting at once, which is going
to... This match couldn't open a Collision. It has to be on this pay-per-view.
It can't be on the pre-show.
That has 13 matches. Now, granted, nine of them are on the main show, but nine's still a lot. And you can say I'm programmed to 4 and 5 for WWE now. Nine is a lot, okay? Especially when every match gets 20-plus minutes, even a four-way tag team title stipulation chooser.
No,
I'm sick of these eliminator matches.
Yeah.
I'm sick of the eliminator matches. I'm sick of the last chance matches. This better gosh darn be the last money match for the Young Bucks, $1 million match. Like, if I see a $2.3 million match next week on Collision, I'm just going to be done.
It's a compound interest match. They've invested in an index fund. And they
if you call it a compound interest match and then somehow Jeff Hardy shows up, like, okay, that might be interesting.
It's going to tie into the Bane, Shafir versus Tony and Mina match in the next round. So one of those two teams wins and the other team beats them. I don't know which.
Timeless love bombs. Tony Khan's got to realize, I don't think I'm alone here, but some people just don't give a shit about some of these, like, teams that just showed up. Alex Windsor might be a perfectly fine pro wrestler. But when she shows up 2 weeks in and now, okay, we're going to give her the big entrance and she's the most important person in the women's division for a couple of weeks. Like, some of these just fall so flat to me. And Timeless Love Bombs is one of them. Like, Toni Storm lost the War Games match because her best friend in life, who had only been on TV the last couple of weeks, Mina Shirakawa, is getting destroyed.
And now, like, they're coming out doing spy versus spy dance recitals and stuff. Yeah.
I mean, you want to be a tag team for a while. You want to show something. Like, why has everything got to be done within 3 weeks of introducing a character? I mean, come on, guys.
Build.
Build something, and it's easy to say build, right? I get it. It's easy to say it, but, like, some of these people are coming from nowhere.
No, I mean it. Build, because Tony Khan hates building things. He just wants to put the banger matches on and
he doesn't know how. He just wants the dream match. He doesn't know how to build it.
Okay.
And Grant, like, there's different ways you can make things be important. I mean, Maxine Dupri just won the Intercontinental Championship and the crowd erupted.
Yes.
You know what would have happened if she did that 3 weeks after debuting on TV? Wouldn't have happened that way.
Exactly.
Wouldn't have been anything. But guess what happened? You put her as a character for a year and you build her up as what she is, And then you give her the big match, and all of a sudden it's a big match. You see how big matches can be created when they wouldn't be big matches before? See how that happens?
Give us the pencil, please.
I don't need the pencil. I don't need the pen. I don't need any of it. I would just like someone with a brain to be the guy in that company. Brodito versus FTR. FTR is winning the tag team titles here, and eventually we're going to get that Young Bucks FTR match of importance, but FTR's got to win this here.
And Brodito has to Brody King has to destroy Bandito after the match.
Well, see, I'm still of the belief that they don't have to separate like that. They can just kind of go their own way, but if that's the way you want to go it, great.
Well, after that promo, they should have him destroy it, because, man, that promo stunk from Brody King.
Do the Young Bucks turn their heads at the $1 million to go back to their bromance with Kenny Omega?
I had it posited on the Dynamite show, a very interesting theory from Paul Fontaine, our friend. And I'm starting to agree with this. That Omega Jurassic Express win this
Jurassic
match.
Express? Jungle Jack? Luchasaurus?
And then the Bucks and Kenny make up.
Ooh.
But then the Jurassic Express turn on all three and join the Callis family. I'm here for this.
FML.
Yeah, well, I I'm not looking forward to this match, unlike other people, because I mean, we remember what happened during it was Hangman versus Kenny, and we had to watch the internal struggle of the Young Bucks, and it stunk. It was bad. And it's going to be that for this entire match, is them struggling to fight their friend Kenny.
Have you seen the shape that Nick Jackson is in?
How so?
I don't know if anyone else is noticing.
Dante or Darius Martin?
Nick Jackson's in the best shape of his life.
Okay, I thought you were trashing him at first.
No.
Okay, no.
Nick Jackson's
in really good shape. Yeah.
He's the leanest he's ever been. I feel like he's put on muscle in the arms. He was always the least lean of the brothers. He is looking like he's ready for a WrestleMania main event. I don't know what that means. I don't know if it was just the layoff. They were able to get some time, you know, working out, maybe changing regiment, or if they're in for a near future here of being top of the card tag team again. I don't know what it means, but Nick Jackson is in the best shape of his life. Is anyone else noticing this? Just me? Okay. But Nick Jackson. I don't know where they're going to go with this. We could also do the angle where Nick Jackson, Matt Jackson, and Josh Alexander win the $1 million, but then Don Callis claims it for himself, claiming that it was, you know, the Don Callis family on the contract.
That's what's going to happen. Well, you know what? That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, so Don Callis, and if they don't join up, you don't get any of the money. So they're basically indentured servants, as Mark Briscoe is going to be. So not only does the Don Callis family potentially add three people to the group that already has 20, but now you have two different indentured servant angles within the same group at the same time.
Great.
you can say is great. Because, why are we overthinking all this?
Well, no.
Do you think Tony realizes?
Hold on. You think the Bucks will be with the A-listers of the Don Callis family, and then Mark Briscoe will be with like Mark Davis and Trent.
Mark Briscoe, Mark Davis, Trent, RPG Vice. They're going to be the ones who show up on WCW Sunday Pro.
Yes,
and like where the main event is Buff Bagwell versus whatever local indie star in Atlanta.
Mark Davis calling somebody Fruit Booty because Stevie Ray did it.
Adam Page versus Samoa Joe. Does Samoa Joe win the championship here and we get back to the glory days of that Samoa Joe title reign? Or does Adam Page vanquish another challenger, finally putting him to bed before moving on to maybe a possibly returning MJF or Swerve Strickland?
I love Samoa Joe. His promo was so good on Wednesday. His promos are great everywhere. He was great on commentary, which is usually a suck move to put the guy who's facing the dude in the main event on commentary, watching the guy he's watching, but he was great at it. No, unfortunately. And Samoa Joe would be the best champion this company could get. It's going to be Hangman, and yes, it's in New Jersey. MJF shows at the end. I don't think they do something with the contract, but I think he'll announce, he may announce like World's End, I'm going to fight you or whatever, but you know, there can't be a cash in because of the 1 week stipulation.
Yeah.
So, but yes, MJF has to show up because it's in his backyard. It has to be MJF, right?
I would agree that it has to be MJF, and that Adam Page versus MJF gets us back on track to kind of what I feel AEW is about. And hopefully that puts us into a good position towards the end of the year and going into 2026 with MJF versus Adam Page on the horizon. So I do believe you are right. That's how this pay-per-view is going to end, with MJF standing tall, possibly over a damaged Adam Page, or maybe they just signify that this is going to be the next program. Mm-hmm. But Samoa Joe will be out of the picture for the title after this event, putting in a pretty good run as the filler for the last couple of months against Adam Page. I hope everyone out there has a very happy Thanksgiving, especially those in the States. If you are celebrating, be safe, be careful. If you want to see me dying of a cough, go watch this on YouTube, kids.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.